The 8,128th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in the Middle East, including the Palestinian question. I now give the floor to Mr. Nikolai Mladenov.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members of the Security Council, Jerusalem is one of the most complex and perhaps captivating cities in the world. Of all the final status issues in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as identified in the Oslo Accords, refugees, settlements, security arrangements, borders, relations and cooperation with neighbors, and other issues of common interest, Jerusalem is the most emotionally charged and difficult subject. For the Jewish people, it is, and it will always be, the center of their faith and life. For centuries, they have looked to it as a symbol of hope for the future. It is also the center of life for Palestinians, and since the occupation of East Jerusalem in 1967, many have lived in fear of losing their livelihoods and their connection to the city. For both Israelis and Palestinians, Jerusalem is and will always remain an integral part of their national identity. For billions of people around the world, it also serves as a symbol and as a cornerstone of their Christian, Jewish, or Muslim faith. That is why it remains one of the most sensitive places in the world. For decades, there has been a broad agreement among UN member states about the particular status of Jerusalem, including through Security Council Resolutions 252 from 1968, 476 from 1980, and 478 from 1980 as well as General Assembly Resolution 181. The United Nations has repeatedly declared that any unilateral decision that seeks to alter the character and status of Jerusalem could seriously undermine current peace efforts and may have repercussions across the region. As stated by the Secretary General, the United Nations position is clear. Jerusalem is a final status issue for which a comprehensive, just and lasting solution must be achieved through negotiations between the parties and on the basis of the relevant UN resolutions and mutual agreements. Mr. President, on December 6th, US President Donald Trump announced that the United States recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel. In this recognition, he said that final status issues, including the boundaries of Israeli sovereignty, remain for the parties to determine. He made clear his commitment to advance peace between Israelis and Palestinians and called for the status quo in the holy places to be respected. The announcement also signaled the start of preparations to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem while renewing a six-month waiver for which the embassy remains in Tel Aviv. Without doubt, this decision has been widely welcomed in Israel. It has also caused much anger among Palestinians and anxiety across the Middle East and beyond. Palestinian President Abbas condemned the move and stressed that the United States has withdrawn from its role as a mediator in the process. He warned of the potential consequences for security and stability in the region and underlined the need for immediate work towards national reconciliation. Hamas described the proclamation of an attack as an attack against the Palestinian people and called on the PLO to withdraw its recognition of Israel. In Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu thanked President Trump for the decision. He reaffirmed his commitment to maintaining the status quo at the holy sites, while President Rivlin said that Jerusalem is not an obstacle to peace. Mr. President, I'm particularly concerned about the potential risk of violent escalation. In anticipation of the U.S. decision, Palestinian factions called for 3 days of rage to take place from 6th to 8th of December. Some called for December 8th to be the start of a new uprising or intifada. Since the decision, we have seen widespread demonstrations and violent clashes between Palestinian protesters and Israeli security forces throughout the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem and Gaza. According to OCHA, at least one Palestinian was killed and more than 140 have been injured. There have also been protests in Arab cities and villages within Israel, as well as cities around the region and beyond, from Lebanon and Jordan to Malaysia and Bangladesh. On December 7th, 6 rockets were reportedly fired from Gaza towards Israel. All but one landed short without causing damage or injury. The Israeli Defense Forces responded by shelling a Hamas military installation in the Strip and bombing another one from the air, causing damage but no injuries. Mr. President, we continue to follow developments on the ground very closely. We all understand and respect the symbolic, religious, and emotional charge that Jerusalem holds for people across the region and beyond. Nevertheless, I urge all political, religious, and community leaders to refrain from provocative action and rhetoric that can lead to escalation. And I call on all to exercise restraint and engage in dialogue. It is now more important than ever that we preserve the prospects for peace. It will be ordinary Israelis and Palestinians, their families, their children, who will ultimately have to live with the human costs and the suffering caused by further violence. It is they who will look to their leaders to find the strength and the will to achieve a just, a comprehensive peace that addresses all final status issues, that ends the occupation of Palestinian territory that started in 1967, and then brings security and stability to both Israelis and Palestinians. Mr. President, the United Nations remains strongly committed to supporting all efforts towards a negotiated two-state solution. This is the only way to achieve the legitimate national aspirations of both Israelis and Palestinians. This point has been clearly reaffirmed by Secretary General Guterres, and I stress again his word. There is no plan B for the two-state solution. Palestinian and Israeli leaders, but also the international community, have an important responsibility to advance peace efforts to this end. Only through constructive dialogue can we hope to achieve peace, and I call on all parties to remain engaged. Mr. President, today we stand at another critical moment in the long-running history of this conflict, where we are yet to see if the prospects of peace can be preserved and advanced. It is up to all of us in the international community, just as much it is up to Israeli and Palestinian leaders, to urgently advance a just and lasting resolution of this conflict. The Secretary General has been clear that realizing a two-state solution with Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and Palestine is the only way that such a vision can be achieved. I have warned many times in the past, Mr. President, and I will do so again today. If the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is not resolved in line with relevant UN resolutions and in a manner that meets the legitimate national aspirations of both peoples, it risks being engulfed into the vortex of religious radicalism that has taken over the Middle East. There is a serious risk today that we may see a chain of unilateral actions which can only push us further away from achieving our shared goal of peace. It will be critical in the coming days that leaders demonstrate their wisdom and make all efforts to reduce the rhetoric, prevent incitement, and rein in radical elements. In its report in 2016, the Middle East Quartet called for steps to reverse negative trends that undermine the two-state solution, so as to build the conditions necessary for successful final status negotiations. Today, that call remains as valid as ever. I urge the international community to fulfill its historic responsibility to support the parties in achieving peace and a comprehensive agreement. The Secretary General and the United Nations are committed to supporting Palestinian and Israeli leaders to return to meaningful negotiations in order to achieve a lasting and just peace for both peoples. We remain deeply committed to working with the parties and with our international and regional partners to realize this objective. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Mladenov for his briefing. I now give the floor to the members of the Security Council. I give the floor to the representative of Sweden.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, for organizing this emergency meeting, and thank you to the special coordinator, Nikolai Mladenov, for his very clear briefing. We have requested today's meeting together with 7 other members of this council: Bolivia, Egypt, France, Italy, Senegal, the UK, and Uruguay. Sweden took this step due to the repercussions that the statement made by the US President Donald Trump on Jerusalem on 6 December will have. We clearly disagree with the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and with the plan for a move of the US embassy to Jerusalem for a number of reasons, which I will now outline. Mr. President, firstly, it contradicts international law and UN Security Council resolutions. Jerusalem is a final status issue and can therefore only be resolved through negotiations agreed between the parties. Already in 1947, the UN attributed to Jerusalem a special legal and political status as corpus separatum. In 1980, when Israel attempted to declare Jerusalem its capital, this council stated in Resolution 478 that this was a violation of international law. The council further declared that attempts to change the character and status of Jerusalem were null and void, and called upon all states to accept this decision, as well as to withdraw their missions from Jerusalem. All states, up to now, abided by the council's call. It was only 1 year ago that this council, again, in Resolution 2334, stated that, and I quote, it will not recognize any changes to the pre-1967 lines, including with regard to Jerusalem, other than those agreed by the parties through negotiations, end of quote. The European Union has a clear position on Jerusalem, which explains why all EU member states on this council were united in requesting today's meeting. We consider Jerusalem to be the future capital of two states. We have never recognized Israel's annexation of East Jerusalem, and we thus consider it part of occupied territory. And we believe that the future status, as I said, of Jerusalem can only be resolved through negotiations. The statement by the US president goes against the plea of many friends of the United States and Israel. However, it does not affect the position of Sweden, the European Union, or the wider international community, which is, up to now, the international consensus on the status of Jerusalem. Secondly, it is fueling tensions and increasing instability in an already volatile and turbulent region. The question of Jerusalem has an impact far beyond the region, and there are already strong reactions to this decision around the globe. Clashes have taken place, as we just heard, yesterday and today, already resulting in over 100 people injured. We call on all parties to maintain calm, show restraint, and refrain from violence. This conflict must not be turned into a religious one. Jerusalem is a holy city for the three Abrahamic religions. More than ever, we need respect, tolerance, and dialogue to prevail over division and antagonism. We should not forget the strong ties to Jerusalem of both Israelis and Palestinians, and that approximately 40% of the inhabitants of Jerusalem are Palestinians. Mr. President, thirdly, it risks, despite its stated intention to the contrary, prejudging the outcome of negotiations on final status issues, such as Jerusalem, and thus it threatens the peace prospect itself. As the Secretary General has repeatedly stated, there is no alternative to the two-state solution, and there is no plan B. Yet, that vision is more threatened than ever. Sweden has a long-standing and firm commitment to the two-state solution. 70 years ago, we were one of 33 member states of the UN that voted in favor of Resolution 181, which paved the way for the establishment of the State of Israel. In 2014, Sweden decided to recognize the State of Palestine as a logical consequence of our support for the two-state solution. Mr. President, the United States has for decades played a key role in the quest for peace in the Middle East. We note the US administration's stated intention to bring an end to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and to facilitate a peace agreement between Israelis and Palestinians. Now, words need to be followed by deeds and ideas by proposals. We encourage the United States to follow up its statement with action towards a two-state solution. Now is the time to move forward with a detailed peace plan that enables the State of Israel and the State of Palestine to live side by side in peace and security with Jerusalem as the future capital of both states. This council also has a responsibility, and all stakeholders must engage more than ever on a path to peace in the Middle East. I thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Sweden for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of Egypt.
Mr. President, the Security Council meets today in an emergency session upon the request of the majority of its members, who, along with a large number of countries and peoples from the world, were seriously concerned over an issue related to international peace and security. This is a dangerous precedent that needs reflection. We are witnessing today the reflection of a great fear that pervaded the international community over the past few days over one of the questions that was included on the Security Council agenda since its establishment, that is, the Palestinian question. It also reflects the fear from the repercussions and impact of unilateral decisions that run counter to international law and threaten the system of political relations. Such a system was founded on the UN Charter over 70 years ago to prevent the repetition of the scourges of war. And to ensure regulating relations among peoples in an era supposedly that takes into consideration the fundamental rights of peoples on equal basis. We are confronted with a test of such system, a test of the rule of law. Our effort will not be crowned with success unless we work together within the framework of international legitimacy. If we surrender and fail, the repercussions will be grave, whether on this question or other international ones for years to come. Mr. President, Al-Quds Al-Sharif is a question that is rooted in history. Generations of followers of the three Abrahamic religions is closely linked to that city for hundreds of years. In modern times, and under the umbrella of the United Nations, the international community succeeded in putting legal parameters to address this issue since the organization decided to establish two states on the Palestinian territories pursuant to Resolution 181. Thus, the only rationale and only firm reality to address the question of Al-Quds Al-Sharif within the framework of the Palestinian question is to follow such reality pursuant to the international law as prevalent in the UN resolutions and Security Council resolution. For they've all unequivocally rejected the occupation of Jerusalem, which started in 1967. Since we are meeting today to shed light on the danger of infringing on such legal parameters that were reached over dozens of years, it might be appropriate today to recall the most important binding Security Council resolutions, the old ones and the modern ones on Jerusalem. Resolution 242 provided for the withdrawal of Israel from the territories occupied in 1967, including Jerusalem. Resolution 478 rejected the occupation of the city by force and considered what is called the Basic Law, which was imposed by Israel, a violation of international law and does not alter the legal status of the city. It also has no impact on the applicability of the Geneva Convention on the protection of civilians during war in Al-Quds Al-Sharif or Jerusalem. It's also of vital importance to recall the latest Security Council resolutions on that matter. Some of them were only 1 year old. We're referring here to Resolution 2334, which reaffirmed that the Security Council does not recognize any alteration of the 4th of June 1967 lines, including Al-Quds al-Sharif, unless it's a result of negotiations between the two parties. Moreover, Resolution 478 called for the withdrawal of all diplomatic missions from Jerusalem, since the international community does not recognize it as the capital of Israel. Resolution 2334 requested clearly all countries to differentiate between Israeli territories and the territories occupied in 1967, including Jerusalem. Mr. President, these are the resolutions of the Security Council with concerted substance for dozens of years and until this very day. It is considered the law that governs the status of Jerusalem. These are the binding Security Council resolutions, which all countries have pledged, according to the UN Charter, to implement it and abide by it to maintain international peace and security. These are the Security Council resolutions that represent the only reality and logic on Al-Quds al-Sharif. Proceeding from the above, the Arab Republic of Egypt denounces the U.S. decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel and to move its embassy to Jerusalem. We also declare our rejection to any implications thereof. We'd also like to stress that such unilateral decisions is a violation of international legitimacy. And thus, it has no impact on the legal status of the city of Jerusalem, since it is a city under occupation. And it is not permissible legally to take any action that would alter the status quo in the city. As explained, and as is well known to all concerning the highly sensitive nature of the question of Jerusalem, we would like to express our serious concern from the potential repercussions of such a decision on the stability in the region, since it will ignite Muslim and Arab peoples due to the great spiritual, cultural, and historical standing of the city of Jerusalem in the Arab and Muslim hearts. There will also be grave negative impact of such a decision on the peace process between the Palestinians and Israelis. This process was founded on the major references that provides for the fact that the city of Jerusalem is one of the final status matters that will be determined through negotiations between the two parties. Mr. President, the call to preserve the international legal terms of reference and international law is not a luxury, especially in a region that is struck by conflicts and a world subjected to huge challenges. We're in no need for further unjustified chaos. This is a call that takes into account what's clear before our eyes, the huge danger faced in case of the deterioration of the international legal system. Thus, we reaffirm once again that the status of Jerusalem, as defined by Security Council resolutions as a city under occupation, will not change and has not changed unless the parties agreed upon that issue through negotiations. We call upon UN agencies to face the emerging challenges on the Palestinian question in a way that maintains the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people, including the right to establish an independent state along the 4th of June 1967 lines with East Jerusalem as its capital. Egypt will always uphold its pledge to reach a fair, just, and durable peace in the region based on the parameters of international legitimacy. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank the representative of Egypt for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Mr. President, both for giving me the floor and for scheduling this important meeting. Nikolai, thank you for your briefing, in particular for your unequivocal support for the two-state solution and for your warnings against unilateral measures that jeopardize the prospect of a sustainable peace for Israelis and Palestinians. From the outset, I would like to make clear that the United Kingdom's position on the status of Jerusalem is clear and long-standing. It should be determined through a negotiated settlement between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and Jerusalem should ultimately be the shared capital of the Israeli and Palestinian states. In line with relevant Security Council resolutions, including 242, 478, and 2334, we regard East Jerusalem as part of the occupied Palestinian territories. We therefore disagree with the US decision to move its embassy to Jerusalem and unilaterally to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel before a final status agreement. These decisions are unhelpful to the prospects for peace in the region, a aim that I know all of us in this council remain committed to. The British Embassy to Israel is based in Tel Aviv, and we have no plans to move it. Mr. President, we share President Trump's desire to bring an end to this conflict. We welcome his commitment to a two-state solution negotiated between the parties. We note his clear acknowledgement of the importance of the final status of Jerusalem, including the sovereign boundaries within the city, which must be subject to negotiations between the parties. We remain committed to an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement that is based on 1967 borders, with agreed and equal land swaps, reflecting both parties' national and religious interests, and with Jerusalem as the shared capital of an Israeli and Palestinian state. This outcome must be determined through a final status agreement and a just, fair, agreed, and realistic settlement for refugees that is demographically compatible with the principle of two states for two peoples. Mr. President, we recognize that Jerusalem holds huge significance and holiness for Jews, Muslims, and Christians. We reiterate the fundamental necessity of maintaining the status quo at the holy sites, in particular the Temple Mount Haram al-Sharif, and we welcome President Trump's call on the parties to maintain that status quo. Access and religious rights of both peoples must be respected. We value Jordan's important role as custodian of the holy sites and remain fully supportive of their efforts to maintain calm. We are deeply concerned by continued developments on the ground that undermine the prospects for a two-state solution. As the Quartet has made clear, settlement construction and expansion, particularly in East Jerusalem, is a significant barrier to achieving that solution. Terrorism and incitement to violence constitute another crucial barrier. We will continue to press the parties to refrain from actions which make a viable peace more difficult to achieve. A just and lasting resolution to end the occupation and deliver peace for both Israelis and Palestinians is long overdue. Recent developments demonstrate the urgency of progress towards peace. Today, I reaffirm our strong support for renewed peace negotiations between the Israelis and Palestinians as soon as possible. These should be supported by the international community and should result in a safe and secure Israel living alongside a viable and sovereign Palestinian state. We welcome the UN Secretary General's intent to do everything in his power to support the Israeli and Palestinian leaders to return to meaningful negotiations and to realize this vision of a lasting peace for both peoples. We strongly encourage the US administration to bring forward detailed proposals for an Israeli-Palestinian settlement. The UK will also do everything we can to support progress and achieve the vision of a lasting peace. To have the best chances of success, the peace process must be conducted in an atmosphere free from violence. We call on all parties to maintain calm and work together in a spirit of commitment to this common enterprise. On Jerusalem specifically, peace efforts need to take account of the people, not just the land and the holy sites. There are more than 320,000 Palestinians in East Jerusalem. The vast majority are permanent residents whose permits can be revoked at any point. If they move away from the city, Israel often does not allow them back. If they marry, they face obstacles in bringing their spouses. If they apply for Israeli citizenship, and most do not, a high proportion of applications are rejected. Their status must not be forgotten in any peace effort. Mr. President, if all parties can truly take bold steps in the spirit of compromise, I have no doubt that an agreement can finally be reached. This is the only way to ensure the long-term security that Israelis deserve and the statehood and end to the occupation that Palestinians are calling out for. This is what both peoples ought to have. It has been denied to them for too long.
Statement. I now give the floor to the representative of France.
Mr. President, at the outset, I would like to thank the special coordinator for his statement. The status of Jerusalem has been subject of specific Security Council resolutions, and in this regard, it is of concern to the whole of the international community, as was recalled yesterday by the President of France, Mr. Emmanuel Macron. For this reason, together with a number of partners, France adopted an initiative to call this Security Council meeting. As was indicated by President Macron, we regret the decisions announced by the President of the United States on Wednesday to unilaterally recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to prepare for the transfer of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I would also like to underscore three elements which guide the position of France, which have to do with law, with the two-state solution, and with the risks of escalation. The first element has to do with law. The decisions to which I just referenced by no means modify the parameters for the settlement to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as set forth under international law. The status of Jerusalem must be determined by the parties under a peace agreement. In the absence of an agreement, pursuant to the consensus that has prevailed within the international community over the past 70 years, France recognizes no sovereignty over Jerusalem. Therefore, in the wake of the June 1967 conflict, we did not recognize the annexation of East Jerusalem. This, in the eyes of international law, is part of the occupied territories. In 1980, nor did we recognize the unilateral actions undertaken by Israel concerning Jerusalem. The Security Council adopted resolutions 476 and 478 prior to and following the adoption of the Israeli Basic Law, entitled Jerusalem, Capital of Israel. These resolutions, inter alia, enshrine two principles. The first principle is that any measure to alter the status of Jerusalem and to alter the geographic, demographic, and historic characteristics of the city is deemed to be null and void and must be abandoned. The second principle set forth in said resolutions is that all United Nations member states who establish diplomatic missions in Jerusalem must withdraw them from the city, and this is what took place subsequent to Resolution 478 without any exemption. Lastly, a little under a year ago, the adoption by this Council of Resolution 2334 was a reminder that no modification of the 1967 borders, other than one agreed upon by the parties, will be acknowledged by the international community, including in Jerusalem. It is henceforth incumbent upon the United States, to specify how President Trump's 6 December announcement aligns with this common legal foundation upon which all peace efforts are based. And it is incumbent upon us more than ever before to reaffirm our collective commitment to international law, specifically to the resolutions of this Council, on a critical question, that of the status of Jerusalem, which is decisive for any prospects of peace. For without an agreement on Jerusalem, there can be no peace agreement. This is the second element which guides our action. The historic and religious significance of Jerusalem in the eyes of all parties makes it among the keys to a resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and a key to regional and international stability. Given its gravity, its central positioning in the Middle East, its critical significance, and its role in the collective imagination, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is, and specifically the question of Jerusalem, is profoundly galvanizing in nature, and the scope largely surpasses Israel and and Palestinian territories. For this reason, Mr. President, it is critical to duly seek to provide no pretexts for radical movements in the region, and on the contrary, to encourage all statesmen and actors for peace along the same lines, because it is saturated with the religious and historic symbolism. This carries the risk, if we fail to take action, carries the risk of taking a political conflict, which in and of itself carries risks, of causing this to morph into an insurmountable religious conflict. That said, France and its European Union partners believe that Jerusalem is to become a capital of two states, Israel and Palestine, pursuant to parameters to be defined by Palestinians and Israelis through negotiations, together with Jordan, given its special role in this regard. Let us be clear, there is no alternative to a two-state solution, nor is there a two-state solution without an agreement among the parties on Jerusalem. And in this regard, we noted the stated willingness of the President of the United States to support a two-state solution. We cherish the hope that this will pave the way to bringing the United States back into the fold of international consensus. In the immediate term, and this is my third message, we certainly are greatly alarmed by risks of escalation on the ground following 3 days of clashes, specifically in Gaza and in a number of neighborhoods in East Jerusalem. We call upon all to exercise restraint, to adopt all requisite measures to restore calm. Beyond this, there are negative repercussions throughout the region which should be averted. We call upon all regional actors to refrain from fueling tensions and to contribute to pacification. Sir, France is a friend of the Palestinians. We are a friend of the Israelis as well. For this reason, we seek to speak truth by calling upon them to return to the negotiating table. Indeed, there is no shortcut in the difficult path towards peace. This requires negotiations and respect for the other. As the question of Jerusalem is among the keys to the Middle East, it is more important than ever before to recall our collective commitment to conservation of international position on the specific status of those cities. At stake is respect for international law and the legitimate rights of each of the parties. At stake is the legitimacy of the Security Council. At stake is the conservation of the two-state solution. In all of these regards, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, you may count upon the consistent and resolute support of France. Thank you.
I thank the representative of France for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Given the announcements made by the President of the United States on his unilateral recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and his decision to begin the work of moving his embassy to that city, 8 delegations in the Council has requested that the President convene this emergency session. The non-aligned movement has taken a stance on this matter. The African Union, the Arab League, and a series of other member states have made statements that ratify the importance of the matter before us. Bolivia indicates clearly and unequivocally what its position is. Not only is this unilateral move against international law, but it also undermines the possibility of fair and lasting peace to be achieved between Israel and Palestine. This decision is extremely damaging. It is irresponsible because it further exacerbates the already unstable situation in the Middle East. In addition to running counter to the Charter of the United Nations, Security Council resolutions, and General Assembly resolutions, this decision will impact not only Israelis and Palestinians, but the entire region. It will be exploited by extremists, and it will feed the violence of radicals. Mr. President, also, this unilateral decision affects the multicultural and multi-religious identity of Jerusalem. Pope Francis expressed it as thus, and I quote, "I cannot silence my deep-seated concern for the situation that has been created in recent days, and at the same time address a pressing call, an urgent call, for all to respect the status quo in keeping with the relevant resolutions of the United Nations. Jerusalem is a unique city, holy for the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, who revere in it their respective holy sites and religions, and it has a special vocation for peace." I end quote. Mr. President, we would express our firm commitment to all international efforts geared to a peaceful solution to the Israeli-Palestinian dispute and conflict. And in this regard, we support, of course, all initiatives such as the Quartet Roadmap, the Madrid Principles, the Arab Peace Initiative, and others which are set forth as guarantees for lasting and fair peace so that both peoples can live within recognized and secure borders. Bolivia is convinced that the only alternative to resolve this conflict is the two-state solution with a free, sovereign, and independent Palestinian state with international borders of before 1967, with East Jerusalem as its capital, in keeping with the relevant Security Council resolutions, as well as those of the General Assembly. Mr. President, it's necessary to recall here that while there are two parties to this conflict, they are not playing on a level playing field. One state, Israel, is the occupying power. The other, Palestine, is an occupied people. There is historical and unavoidable, unhideable inequality. One uses force to occupy the territory of the other. One party has built a wall, which, based on the advisory opinion of the International Criminal Court of Justice, is a violation of international law. One of the parties builds illegal settlements in the territory of the other. One of the parties forcibly displaces civilians, confiscates land, demolishes homes, and moves settlers into settlements that were illegally built. One of the parties imposes a blockade on Gaza with terrible consequences, restricting access to basic services. One party has created a situation where 5 million Palestinian refugees exist. One party takes over the water resources and land, farmlands of the other. One party has imposed a brutal military campaign against the other. One of the parties commits very grave human rights violations and would be perpetrators of war crimes. One is responsible for the forced displacement of Palestinian civilians. One of the parties, Mr. President, is in breach of its international commitments and is in breach of the General Assembly and Security Council resolutions. Mr. President, this is the result of the most prolonged military occupation in modern history. In recent world days and months, settlements have increased exponentially. There has been an institutionalization of an economic, political, and legal and social system which is based on discrimination. This situation takes us further away from the two-state solution. Mr. President, we have to ask, how is it that this situation is taking place in the 21st century? How is it that the resolutions of this council have been violated, not just with regard to Jerusalem, but in the conflict in general? We must acknowledge that the calls for dialogue and negotiations are insufficient. The Security Council must bear its responsibility to take decisions and measures. Otherwise, the Security Council will become an occupied territory. And this chamber will have to add itself to the long list of settlements by the occupying power, and it will once again prove our irrelevance in this area. Bolivia demands the end of occupation, demands the end of the breach of international law and the settlements and occupation of Jerusalem and the entire Palestinian territory. Thank you.
Representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia, I give the floor to the representative of Uruguay.
Gracias, señor presidente. Agradezco al coordinador.
Thank you.
Por su muy precisa.
I would like to thank the special coordinator for the peace process in the Middle East, Nicolai Medela, for his very specific statement. The political, historical, religious relevance of Jerusalem for Israel and Palestine, but also for all the faithful of Christian, Jews, and Muslim faiths around the world, because these are holy sites for them, has been the reason why this city received a special status. Yesterday, a communique was issued by my government, and I'd like to read it. And it says, the government of Uruguay reaffirms its support to Resolution 181 of 1947 of the General Assembly, which established the creation of a Jewish state and an Arab state in the Palestinian territory, with Jerusalem as corpus separatum, subject to a special international regime. We also express the government's commitment to Resolution 478 of the Security Council. In this regard, the Uruguayan government expresses its concern and disagreement with the decision taken by the government of the United States that does not contribute to the necessary climate of peace and mutual respect in order to bring about a fair, complete, and lasting solution in the Middle East, end of quote. Mr. President, Uruguay voted in favor of Resolution 181 of the General Assembly and reaffirms once again the special status of the City of Jerusalem in keeping with all the resolutions of the General Assembly and the Security Council. As conveyed yesterday by Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the ultimate status of Jerusalem is still a matter to be resolved. Therefore, the sovereignty and limits of Jerusalem should be agreed upon by Israel and Palestine in bilateral negotiations. Uruguay reaffirms, as it has done since 1947, Palestine and Israel's right to live in peace within safe borders that are internationally recognized in an environment of renewed cooperation and free of any threat or act that would break the peace. The two-state solution continues to be the only viable solution to put an end to this conflict. And it's necessary to reinitiate bilateral negotiations directly as soon as possible in order to grapple with all the pending issues and find a fair, lasting, peaceful solution. Mr. President, it's been exactly 37 years ago in this very city that John Lennon was assassinated. One of his most famous songs, sung by Lennon, a pacifist, a well-known pacifist, that he imagined a world where mankind could live in peace, sharing the whole planet without any reason to kill or die. Mr. President, Lenin was a dreamer, but he wasn't the only one. Hopefully one day his dream will become a reality. Thank you, sir.
Representative of Uruguay for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Italy.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like, first of all, to thank Mr. Mladenov for his briefing. I also would like to welcome the continued personal engagement of the Secretary-General on this issue. Mr. President, following the recent declaration on Jerusalem by the President of the United States, Italy joined other seven members of the Security Council requesting this meeting. Italy's position on Jerusalem remains unchanged. It continues to be consistent with that expressed by the European Union and with the international consensus based on the relevant United Nations resolutions. We believe that the status of Jerusalem as the future capital of two states needs to be negotiated between Israel and Palestine within the framework of a peace process that will eventually lead to the establishment of two states living side by side in peace and security, taking into account the legitimate concerns and aspirations of both parties. Until that moment, Italy will continue to abide by the relevant United Nations resolutions and will maintain its embassy to Israel in Tel Aviv. We are, of course, now very concerned by the risk of unrest and tensions in the region. We call on all actors in Palestine and in the Middle East to show responsibility, exercise restraint, and refrain from any form of violence or incitement. Mr. President, as the Secretary-General affirmed in his statement on Wednesday, there is no alternative to the two-state solution. Therefore, Italy reiterates its commitment to working to that aim together with the members of the European Union and other regional and international partners, and to contributing to the resumption of a meaningful peace process. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Italy for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Senegal.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, to begin, I would like to thank you for having acceded to the request of eight members of the Council, including Senegal, in order to allow our body, invested under the Charter with the maintenance of international peace and security, in order to consider in an open session today the decision taken by the United States government announced on Wednesday, the 6th of December. I also wish to thank today's briefer, Mr. Nikolai Mladenov, Special Coordinator of the Peace Process in the Middle East and personal representative of the Secretary General, for his statement. Our meeting today is all the more important because it makes it possible for us to recall the international consensus on the status of Jerusalem, which the Israeli and Palestinian parties and the Security Council of the United Nations have reserved for the final negotiations. There is no need to dwell on the particular importance of the city of Jerusalem for the two parties, nor on the symbolism the sacred city has for the three monotheistic religions and therefore for the entire world. This is why Senegal, as chair of the United Nations Committee for the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People, calls for strict respect of the status quo on Jerusalem in accordance with internationally established parameters, in particular through the founding resolution of the General Assembly, but also Security Council resolutions 476, 418, and 2324. The question of Jerusalem will depend on the final status. we must all work to bring back a climate of peace, bearing in mind the violence in July in the sacred sites, which unfortunately led to Palestinian, Israeli and Jordanian victims. This is an unfortunate potential result of the American decision. This is the opportunity for my delegation to reiterate its rejection and condemnation of violence and terrorism, whoever the authors may be, whatever the motives may be. This violence recalls, if there was any need to do so, the extreme volatility of the security situation in Jerusalem. And we must therefore call on all stakeholders to act prudently and, above all, to retain the current status of the city whilst awaiting the outcome of negotiations, which we hope for with all our hearts. Senegal renews its expression of gratitude to Jordan for the outstanding, important role that it continues to play as custodian of the Muslim and Christian holy places, including Al-Haram al-Sharif. My delegation calls for a return to the spirit of sharing that prevailed 70 years ago and which is supposed to lead to the creation of two states, Israel and Palestine, both of which have a right to Jerusalem as their capital. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Senegal for his statement.